Okay, time for the UFC Vegas 41 wrap-up. As usual, start off with outside the cage information and going to jump into the discussion of the UFC and the Nevada State Athletic Commission and PASTA. In the post-fight interview that Megan O'Leary did with Costa, he said he checked in for the fight with Marvin Vettori at 219 pounds. And my question then becomes, why did the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission not flag the fight at that moment and start negotiating for it to be a catchweight right away? Because the UFC, who touts its safety, health and safety programs, and Nevada State Athletic Commission, which is tasked with overseeing the health and safety once the weigh-ins start, once the weigh-ins take place, why didn't they get together and say this man is at a level where it is unsafe for him to cut weight to 185 or 186 pounds for the middleweight limit? California has rules in place for its weight cutting that address this issue, and California can, well, they can scratch a fight if it's unhappy with how the weight is. Instead, UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission did nothing, and they allowed the shenanigans to continue until Wednesday, I think, when Costa said that he was not going to make weight, and then that's when the negotiations began to make it a catchweight. That should have never happened. It should have never reached that point. It should have been addressed by the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission from the get-go. It wasn't, and every time Dana White brings up the health and safety of the programs of the UFC, remember this. He just pays lip service to those. He doesn't really mean it, and he's not really interested in health and safety other than, is the fighter healthy and can they get into the cage safely? That's the extent that Dana White is interested in health and safety. Another thing I'd be remiss in not bringing up is that Paulo Costa seemed to be okay with this fight not taking place. He gave an excuse for not being able to cut weight as a bicep injury, but I don't know that you need your bicep to do cardio. So I'm suspicious of his excuse, and that he showed no remorse or no regret or no concern for the UFC or his opponent leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So again, Costa did nothing right here. One thing I found kind of funny in the pre-fight was that the hype video was obviously recorded before Wednesday and not redone, because it mentioned that these two were fighting in the middleweight division. They were ranked in the middleweight division, but they fought at light heavyweight, and it was kind of funny and kind of misleading and kind of sad. So now on to the fights. Jonathan Martinez, he picked up a nice win against a former LFA bantamweight champ in the opening bout. Did a nice job controlling the pace, space, and location of the fight. His kicking game was impressive. Various targets to get the win. He was the smoother striker. He's the better striker. He could have had his hands up a little more when he was delivering his kicks. He left himself open for counters, but those counters did not come. And so Martinez got the win, and he looked good in doing so. Ron DeMarcos ended a four-fight losing skid, and she did so via her tenacity and a decent fight IQ. Fought through some rough spots in the first round. She was able to put that behind her and focus on putting the pressure on her opponent in the second and third rounds. And when her opponent started to fade in the cardio, that's when Marcos really upped the ante, started pushing more, and it won her that fight. The adjustments she made after the first round into the second and third were the reason she got the win. So good win for her, important win for her for ending that four-fight losing skid. Jeff Molina put on an excellent performance in getting his first knockout win in the UFC. He showed veteran poise in dealing with a submission game in the first round of his opponent, Daniel De Silva. He's in some rough spots, but he worked through those. He got top position and stayed heavy top games. Good striking from top to really get himself ahead in this fight. And then afterwards, he said that he is going to be a champion in the flyweight division in the UFC. Might not be this year, might not be next year, but it's going to happen. He's confident of that, and he's only 24, so He looked very good in getting this win, and he's definitely someone who should be on radar in the division. Guy Herbert, I don't know who he irritated or if the UFC was trying to send him a message in his first two fights, but the former Cage Warriors champion did not get an easy road or an easy introduction to the UFC. His first two fights with the UFC were against Francisco Trinado and Renato Moana, and he lost both those fights. But he came back and got a good knockout win here over Kama Worthy. And the performance showed why a lot of people were rightly high on Herbert when he made his UFC debut. I don't know. The UFC sometimes tends to do this when it gets a champion from another organization and early going gives them rough matchups and just throws them right into the deep end. That's what happened with Herbert. I think he will come out of this stronger and better for it. And this fight, this win over Worthy was one that he can really build on. So a great performance by him. David Onama, I think a lot of people expected us to be talking about Mason Jones coming out of this fight. But Jones looked average at best, despite what Michael Bisping would lead you to believe. But David Onama really impressed me in this fight. He lost, but he took the fight. You know, he was on vacation. Took the fight on a couple days' notice, 3 days' notice, I think. And just came in and pushed Jones pretty hard. And I was impressed with everything about Onama, except for maybe his takedown defense. That lack of takedown defense probably cost him this fight. If he would have had better takedown defense, he might have won. He's only 27. This was his first fight in the UFC. He is going to, I'm going to assume, get another chance. And he is going to be someone you want to watch. Judging by my social media, he was by far the fighter of these two, between him and Mason Jones, who fans, I think, wanted to see more of after this bout. So great performance from David Onama. Not so great from Mason Jones. Alex Caceres and Sung Won Choi was a fun fight. They both looked like they were enjoying themselves immensely in the early going. Things got a little more serious when Caceres got dropped by Choi, and then the illegal knee that paused the fight allowed Caceres to get his wits, get things sorted out, and from there, he kind of took over. I was very impressed with the way Caceres took Choi's back to get the submission win in the second round. I was also very impressed with Choi's striking in the first round. He was much faster, much more powerful, he seemed to be more accurate. He was hurting Caceres with those strikes. And Caceres was tagging Choi, but they didn't seem to have the sting. Or either that or Choi is a much better poker face than Caceres, because Caceres seemed to be hurt by when Choi landed hard. But again, good fight. I maybe should have got fight of the night. I think should have got fight of the night over the sloppy fight that did get fight of the night. But Caceres deserved the bonus he got for this one. And I think he is now on a 5-fight winning streak, which is the longest of his UFC career. Took him a while, I think, maybe to get things sorted out. But 10 years into his UFC run, and he is looking like he's at his peak. So another good win here from Alex Caceres. A good fight from Choi. Maybe needs to work on his submission game a little bit more than his striking game. But a learning experience for Choi, and a, like I said, great win for Caceres. Jessica Rose Clark got a decision win over Jocelyn Edwards. It was her first fight in a year. She did a nice job racking up takedowns. She did a nice job controlling the fight on the ground. What she didn't do was take advantage of her positions on and do damage on the ground. So her wrestling has definitely improved. But if Clark wants to start to reach the next level, she's going to have to take that wrestling and then implement a little more aggression on the mat. Had she not been so controlling, maybe this fight would have been closer. Edwards had no answers. She did not do much with the takedowns, I guess is what I'm saying. She looked good in getting the takedowns. She looked good in controlling on the mat, but she did not implement a lot of offense on the ground. And that could hurt her in the future. I mean, even if she faces someone who is active off their back and is throwing elbows and strikes from their back, Clark might not have won this fight if she would have been facing that kind of opponent. Edwards was not that kind of opponent, and so Clark won. Again, her wrestling was good. Her wrestling was much improved, but the offense from that wrestling was what was lacking. So Jessica Rose Clark is on her way. Looks better now than she did a year ago, and a good win for her, but she needs to work on offense. Rick Len. Rick Len lost the first two rounds to his fight against Grant Dawson, but he came back in the third round and nearly stole this fight. But just his tenacity and his guts, basically, he really gave Dawson the business in the third round and nearly submitted him. And Dawson faded badly. And so that's something that Dawson needs to work on. Glenn showed, you know, grit and determination might be the key to beating Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson is a good fighter. I don't know if he's a great fighter, but he showed a big gap in his cardio game here, and that should be a concern for him and his team going forward. So chalk it up as for a learning experience for Grant Dawson, and Rick Glenn taught him a lesson. So good fight from Glenn, not so good fight from Dawson, even though he won. Paulo Costa. So the question is about Paulo Costa and the shenanigans outside the cage seemed to fall by the wayside when the fight started. He definitely prepared. He definitely came to fight. And he definitely wanted to win. And if none of the other things would have happened, if he would have made weight and would have not had any of the other outside distractions coming in this fight, he would have came out of this fight, even though he lost, I think, in a good light. He put on a good performance. He put on a tough performance. His kicks were effective. His chin held up. He did everything inside the cage. He did everything that he could to win the fight. And he looked good. I don't have anything bad to say about his performance. The only reason that I am down on Costa is everything that happened outside the cage and leading into the fight. And I still don't have an explanation as to what went wrong with him and what this all was about before the fight. And that doesn't help things either. But he put on a great performance. Maybe the move to light heavyweight. Dana White said he's going to have to fight at light heavyweight in the future, which I agree with. Maybe the move to light heavyweight will help him look powerful. Definitely hurting Vettori. But again, I can't say that he deserves any kind of accolades just because of what happened outside of the cage. So, sorry, Paulo Costa, but you did good in your fight, but everything you did outside of the fight just kind of negated all that. Marvin Vettori, very impressive. He did not need to take this fight. He took it, and he went out there, took some big shots from Vettori. I'm sorry, from Costa. Vettori took some big shots from Costa and walked through him. Maybe he was feeling him a little bit in the fourth and fifth round. And had the fight been, you know, six rounds, maybe things would have turned around. But it's a five-round fight, and Vettori looked good. I think his status goes up a little bit because of this fight. He's a young guy. I think he just turned 28. So he's going to be hanging around the top of the division for quite a while. He's probably going to get another title shot. It's probably going to be while before he does, just because he has two losses now to Israel Adesanya. But he's not someone that's going to go away. He too maybe could move up to light heavyweight at some point and give the division some problems. His chin is just ridiculous. His power is good. His wrestling is good. He's getting better with every fight. He's getting smarter with every fight inside the cage. I don't know. Say what you want about him outside the cage. I'm just talking about his fighting here. And everything about Vettori looked good, impressive. He deserved all the accolades that Dana White gave him after the fight. And I just can't say enough about how good Vettori looked. If Israel Adesanya was not the champion, we might be looking at a future champion. And if Adesanya ever decides to move up, we still might be looking at a future champion in Marvin Vettori. Again, he's only 28, so he's still probably improving as a fighter. So keep an eye on him. You don't have to like him as a person, much like Colby Covington. He might be a little abrasive, might be a little grating, maybe not to the level of Covington, but like Colby Covington, he is a top-notch fighter, and to deny that just because you don't like him or his personality is silly. He's a good fighter. Covington, I said, also a good fighter. To ignore that just because of your personal feelings about someone is not right. So, Vettori, very good performance, deserves everything he got from Dana White as far as accolades. Be remiss if I did not bring up who I think was the big winner of the night, and that was referee Jason Herzog. Herzog did some excellent work when he stopped the Choi Caceres fight because of the illegal knee and took the point without hesitation. Great work. When he took the point from Costa for the eye poke, again, great work. He did both of those things with confidence and without hesitation and by the rules. So I hope that other referees were watching Jason Herzog and how he performed his job, because he was an example of doing things correctly, doing things quickly, and without question. Maybe this is the change that we need. Maybe Jason Herzog is the guy who is going to lead the change we need in the MMA, where the referees have always been reluctant to take points, even though the rules are the rules. There was nothing wrong with what Jason Herzog did. He should be applauded for his confidence and for his, you know, making things happen by the book. Great performance from Jason Herzog, and I can't praise him enough, and I will praise him every chance I get. It's time for the UFC Vegas 41 post-fight unanswered questions, and I'm going to jump right in, start off with something that I didn't really think about too much during fight week because it really didn't get brought up. But Marvin Vettori brought this up in the aftermath of his win over Paulo Costa on Saturday night during his ESPN Plus interview. And he said, you know, what would have happened if he would have turned down the fight? If he would have said no to 195 and then again no, or no to 205? Because Vettori's point was that Costa was 100% ready to throw the fight away and not take the fight. And I didn't really think about that, but Vettori is right. If Costa would have said it's 195 or nothing, which I guess he did, and then went up to 205 or nothing, what if Vettori would have said no? What would have happened? What would have been the repercussions? Would have got interesting, and it would have got ugly. That we know for the very least, but I think, you know, we don't really know, but we do know that Marvin Vettori deserves all the credit in the world for, you know, rolling with this and taking the fight at first at 195 and then 205, because he absolutely did not need to do either of those things. So good on him. Dana White said all the right things at the post-fight press conference about making Costa move up to 205 pounds. He said that, you know, when you miss weight by that much and cause the kind of problems that Costa caused, then the UFC does tell you where to fight, and the UFC was going to tell him that, or was telling him that light heavyweight was where he was going to fight. Now, Costa did not want to hear that, but that's what White's saying, and I hope White will stick by that, and the UFC will stick by that for at least, well, for a permanent basis, because Costa needs to feel, you know, something for what he did, because he didn't feel any kind of embarrassment or shame, or he just felt like nothing for what he caused, the problems he caused for Vettori, for the UFC, for the fans, for the middleweight division. So he was unapologetic, and for that, he should have to move up to light heavyweight. And if I was the UFC, I would make him stay at light heavyweight. There should be no question about him coming back down. So we'll see if the UFC sticks to what White said here on Saturday night. Michael Bisping and, to a lesser extent, Paul Felder were both very high on Mason Jones during UFC fight night. UFC Vegas 41. And I didn't really see it. Bisping was going on and on about how Jones looked like he was going to be a future UFC champion, and nothing I saw during that fight led me to believe that Jones is going to be even a challenger or a legitimate contender for the title. So I'd really like to hear Bisping's opinion of the fight after he watches it again, because I think he was really too high on Jones for what he did. He just did not look like he is going to be a title challenger. In fact, I'm looking forward to David Onama's next fight, his opponent, who took the fight on short notice, who was on vacation, and who gave Jones a big struggle in this fight. I'm more high right now on Onama, and I want to know if he's going to be able to capitalize on what he did. Judging by my social media feeds, fans were more interested in seeing him again than seeing Jones again. So David Onama really came out of this fight card looking good. Jones, I'm not seeing anything that says future champion, and I'd love to hear what Bisping sees in him that makes him believe that he is going to be a future champion. So we found out that Costa checked in, according to his interview with Megan O'Leary. He checked in on fight week at 219. And my question then is, if you check in at 219 for a 185 or 186 pound fight, why did the UFC and the Nevada State Athletic Commission not flag this fight from the get-go on check-in day and say, nope, this one needs to move up to 195 or 205? Why was that not done? Dana White likes to tout the UFC's safety record. He likes to brag about how health and safety comes first. But when someone checks in that heavy for a middleweight fight and no one does anything about it until Wednesday or Thursday, that leads me to say that the UFC only pays lip service to health and safety. No fighter that checks in at 219 pounds for a 185 or 186 pound fight should be allowed to even try to cut weight. So UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission both need to be asked that question and both need to give a legitimate answer to that question, because I'm not seeing anything health and safety related by even thinking about letting someone cut that much weight. What will Zvad Lazovshalv? And that's all I have for the post-fight questions for UFC Vegas 41.